down from Jonesboro, Georgia, Harvest Baptist Church. I appreciate Brother Joe. I seem like I've known him all my life. Amen. And I love him. I appreciate his preaching. He's helped me. He's challenged me. I want you to hear him gladly as he brings to us what God's give to him for us.
Thank
I love you,
my
brother.
Dear brother. I love you so much. Did you enjoy that singing tonight? I enjoyed the music by those young ladies. I like that anybody here say amen. You can't sing that in a dignified church. It won't sound right. Anybody here say amen. That don't work. And I love the good choir singing. And that message from Romans 8, boy, that helped me. I'm glad when all these things come around, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find an awesome, available, alive, almighty God. God is good. Turn to somebody to your left and say, you look good tonight. You really do. Now turn to your right and say, you ugly, but I love you anyhow. I can't believe that the men who actually fall for that. Preach another night, and I came in and the fellow in the back had his arm around this lady. I said, hey, buddy, is that your sweetheart? He said, no, it's my wife. Boy, it's cold the rest of that service. But I'm glad tonight the Lord is good. And he's also faithful. And he's also eternal. And most of all, I'm glad he's personal. I want to read several verses tonight out of the book of Job. We're going to read in chapter number 1 tonight. First of all, in verse number 5. Chapter 1 of Job in verse number 5. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And say this little phrase with me tonight. Thus did Job continually. He's building an altar and he's worshiping God. And he did it continually. Beside of that verse tonight, I want you to write down the word before. Before the storm ever breaks loose in his life, Job is building an altar. I want you to come now to chapter number 23. Job chapter number 23 and verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take.
Yes, he does.
And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. My foot hath held his steps. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and have not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Beside of that passage tonight, write down the word beneath. Beneath of all of the troubles and the trials he's gone through, under it all, beneath it all, here's a man that's still doing right, still walking with God, beneath all of the trouble. Now I want you to come to the last chapter tonight, Job chapter number 42. And notice what it says in Job chapter 42, the last two verses. After this. Well, I'm glad that everything and every situation, there's an after this. We ought to call recess and shout for 30 minutes right there. That I'm glad there's life after this. I'm glad there's joy after this. I'm glad there's blessings after this. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. And so Job died, being old and full of days. And beside of that phrase tonight, I want you to write down the word beyond. Yes, sir. Beyond all of his storm, beyond all of his trouble, he's still doing what he always did. And that's honor God with his life. Yeah, and for the next few moments tonight, I want to preach on this subject. Before, beneath, and beyond. Yes, before, beneath, and beyond. Before, beneath, beyond the storms and the troubles and the life of this man that God so graciously writes about, our friend by the name of Job. I believe when you come to chapter 1 and verse number 6, Job enters into what I call an Ephesians 6:13 day. You say, now, Brother Joe, what is an Ephesians 6:13 day? Well, do you remember when Paul is writing the church at Ephesus about spiritual warfare? And as he begins to remind them that they need to take on not part, but the whole armor of God, so they will be able to stand. And the King James uses an interesting phrase right there, stand in the evil day. Now, I don't believe he's talking about the apostasy of the last days. I believe he's talking about the day-by-day spiritual warfare that all of us have been fighting since we got off of our knees at an altar of repentance. I feel like telling people that just got saved, you're in the army now. And he says there will come that particular evil day. We fight storms and troubles and difficulties every day of our life. But then every now and then it is a particular storm. The big one hits, and we fight the powers of hell more than any time in our life. And in Job 1 in verse 6, he introduces the whole storm with, there came a day. And I'm telling you tonight, if you live long enough on God's green earth, you're going to have one of those days. In fact, chronologically, this one day in the life of Job turned into 365 of them. From chapter 1 in verse 6 to chapter 42 in verse 2, it is 365 days. This book covers a year time period in the life of Job, where he fought the powers of hell and the powers of darkness like he had never, ever fought in his life. I believe that time period, it was a day of disaster. I mean, Job wakes up one day and he owns everything. And before he can crawl back in the bed that evening, he's lost it all. And I just want to serve notice tonight on Wall Street and the banks and the stock market. You may take our house, you may take our car, you may take our portfolio, but I'm glad our faith in God and our relationship with God and the joy that we have in Jesus is off limits to the world and the flesh and the devil. Because tonight our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. In fact, tonight it would behoove all of us to put our happy and our faith and our joy in the things we cannot touch with our hands. Because I found out tonight that life is so fragile, you can lose those things faster than we gain those things. But aren't you glad tonight that our happy and our hope and our victory is built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. And when you've lost it all here, you still have God in your heart and heaven in your soul, and your name is written in heaven. It was a day of disaster. It was a day of death. I mean, Job firsthandly feels the sting of death as death comes to his home and snatches out his seven boys. And I want to tell you, there is a sting and there is a hurt when death comes to our family. I remember when my dad went to glory, people came by and they said some things, and I know they meant well, but they just didn't sound good to me at that time. I mean, they meant well, but it just didn't sound good to me at that time. They would come by and say, "Oh, Brother Joe, your daddy's all right." Well, I knew daddy was all right, but I wasn't all right. They'd say, "Oh, Brother Joe, your daddy's in a better place." I knew daddy was in her place, but I wasn't in a better place. And they'd say, "Oh, Brother Joe, you wouldn't call him back." And I'm saying, "Oh, yes, I would. Yes, I would." And I mean, sometimes we don't know that sting and that hurt until you've been there. And I'll be honest with you tonight, if it wasn't for 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we would be like Paul said to the Corinthian believer, we would be of all men most miserable. But I'm glad the Bible said that when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad the cemetery and the grave is not the end. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? And Jesus said, I think I'll answer that question. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Thank God tonight for the grand reunion in the sky and the glad reunion day and the peace and the joy that's in our heart when death comes into our family. It was a day of disaster. It was a day of death, and then it was a day of disease. Boy, that storm so worked in Job's life till it became physical. And Job wakes up one morning and he's broken out from the top of his head to the sole of his feet and pulsating, running sores. And he is in such misery and pain that the only relief that he can get is to sit among the ashes and pick up a broken piece of potsherd and scrape himself, trying to relieve the suffering of his body. And I've said this everywhere. It's hard to feel good spiritually when you feel like a dog got physically, and those physical diseases come to all of our lives. Don't swallow this thing that if you're saved and in the will of God, you won't ever feel bad, or you won't ever get sick, or you won't ever have a headache. Brother, these bodies are made from the dirt that's under the curse of God, and these bodies are going back to the dust. They were not designed to last and live forever. But I want to serve notice on New York stylists tonight. Oh, Brother Joe may not wear designer clothes, but one day I'm going to have a designer body when this robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize, and will shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, farewell. But in spite of its disaster, in spite of death, in spite of his disease, he was more than a conqueror, because God had been working all them things, and God had been helping. I appreciate that, brother. In all them things, and aren't you glad? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it tastes like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter how bad it hurts, God is still real, and God is still good. And before I love him, and beneath I love him, and beyond I love him. Before I trust him, beneath I trust him, and beyond I trust him. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight, you've seen God before your storm, say amen. If you've seen God beneath your storm, say amen. And hallelujah, the God that you run into before, and the God that you run into beneath, he'll be the same God. Woo! That you run in beyond. I'm glad he's the same yesterday and forever. And he's worthy of our praise. And he's worthy of our faithfulness. I'm glad God is good. The devil is a liar. And Jesus is coming again. Woo! And the Bible said, oh, Job, this is what he did. You say, well, what did he do? Well, according to chapter 1 in verse 22, he worshiped God. I said he worshiped God. You say, what does it mean to worship God? It means when your heart and your soul and your spirit has been overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God, and from a broken, thankful, contrite heart, you're just telling God how much he's worth. For the word worship is a derivative of the word worthy, which is a derivative of the word worship. And every once in a while, we just ought to clean off a piece of real estate and tell God how much he's worth. And I'll be honest with you tonight, I'm not worth much. And I hate to tell you, but most people I know are not worth much. But can I tell you about him who's altogether holy, who's altogether righteous, who's altogether sovereign, who's altogether eternal, who's altogether faithful, who's altogether everything that he claimed to be and a whole lot more. I believe it's time we cleaned off the spot and said, God, I've just come to tell you, you're awesome, you're great, you're wonderful, you're everything. Worship him tonight, bless him tonight, praise him tonight. He is worthy. Riding down the road the other day, and this fella came on the radio and said he was going to give an exposition on the subject of worship. And about 2 seconds into his exposition, it dawned on me he didn't know nothing about worship. Because his first point, he said, we need to pray for God to create a worshipful atmosphere. Well, I want you to know, if Job was waiting on a worshipful atmosphere, he'd have never worshiped God. Because can I remind you, by the time you read all of chapter 1, it's an atmosphere of trouble. It reeks with pain. It's got a stench about it. It's not a good atmosphere. It's a hurtful atmosphere. It's a disappointing atmosphere. It's an atmosphere that brings doom and gloom to the soul. But wait a minute. Whoa, the atmosphere does not dictate our worship, but our worship dictates the atmosphere. You say, but something good has got to happen so I can worship God. I'm glad you brought that up. Is there anybody here tonight saved and know it and glad about it? Well, it's already happened. Let me check out this side. Is there anybody on this side? You're saved and you know it and you're glad about it. If you're saved, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. Well, it's already happened. It's already happened. You say, but don't something good have to happen so we can worship God? I'm telling you, if your sins have been forgiven, your past has been erased, you've been emancipated from the chains of bondage, it's already happened. God's done the greatest miracle in your life. He saved your soul. He forgave you of your sins. He made you a fixed subject for the kingdom of heaven. It's already happened. Don't let the atmosphere dictate your worship. Let your worship change the atmosphere. What are you doing, Job? I'm doing what I did before. Yes, Job said, this ain't my first time here. Woo! I've been here before. He said, how do you know that? He's in the ashes. Now you boys from down at Wilkes County, this is deep, but hold on now. You know what ashes are? That's the leftover of a previous fire. If you see ashes, that means there's been a fire there. So when you see Job rolling around in them ashes, that's where the fire used to be. And so when he don't know where to turn or what to do, he just goes back to where he's worshiped God before, where he's heard from God before, where he got a hold of God before. Hallelujah, I'm glad. When all hell breaks loose and you don't know what to do, there's a place where you've been before, where you met him before, where he touched you before, where he said something to you before. And if God has done it before, he can do it beneath. Oh my. I hear people say, I don't understand all them people who go to the altar every time we have church. I ain't worried about them who go to the altar every time we have church. I'm worried about them who ain't been to the altar since Moby Dick was a minnow. After 35 years in the same church, I've not had them frequent altar growers start something. In 35 years at the same church, I've not had them frequent altar growers get in stuff. Because there's something about them people. You say, but I don't understand why they went down there. They went down there Sunday morning, went back down there Sunday night. I don't know why they went back down there. Well, why have you been to Cracker Barrel more than once? I'll get their bill in a minute. Why you been to the Burger Basket more than once? Anybody here ever been to Bojangles more than once? Anybody here ever ate a Krispy Kreme more than once? If you don't raise your hand, you're a stinking liar. Because if you ever eat one of them things, you will eat another one. Because, buddy, when they bring it out, it looks like it's been dipped in Holy Ghost honey. And it oozes down the side. And bless God, your mouth starts watering. And that first bite, it's a half moon. And that second bite, it's a total eclipse. And I'm telling you, brother, you know why you've been to the Burger Basket more than once, and Cracker Barrel more than once, and the coffee shop more than once, and the Krispy Kreme going more? Because you like what you found. You like what you tasted. It filled the long that was on the inside. The reason why we go to the altar when we don't know where else to go, that's where we met God. That's where we worship God. That's where God got a hold of us. I've been worshiping before. By God's grace, I worship beneath and on the other side, beyond the trouble, beyond the storm. We'll still worship. We'll still praise. We'll still give him the glory. He's worthy, and he deserves our worship. What did he do? He worshiped God. Chapter number 23. What did he do? He walked with God. What was Job doing before it ever started? Walking with God. What's he doing beneath it? Walking with God. What did he do beyond it? Walking with God. Boy, chapter number 23, his friends came by and said, say something, say something. Have you always noticed people want you to say something when you don't want to say nothing and when you ain't got nothing to say? And finally Job says, okay, you're about to die for me to say something. Here it is. Look up here, boys. Here it is. You see my feet? You see where they're standing? They're standing in the same place they've always been standing. He said, you see this? My feet have kept his steps. I have not gone backwards. I have not been declined. I'm still doing right. I'm still living for God. I'm still maintaining my ways. I was a Christian before this. By God's grace, I'll be a Christian beneath this. And by God's help, I'll be a Christian beyond this. I didn't do wrong and sin and act ugly and curse God before. And I don't want to do it beneath. And I don't want to do it beyond. Can I tell you tonight, what the devil wants you to do is turn your back on God. Turn yourself away from God. Sever that relationship with God and just turn it all over. But I'm here to tell you, keep walking in His way. Keep obeying His word. Keep on doing what you know to do. And don't stop now. Just keep on walking with God. Well, I love what that preacher said. I've been doing a lot of that lately. People come to you, why is this, and why is this, and why is that? And I'll be honest with you, I've enjoyed saying, I don't know. I'm not like some of my friends. They know everything. A lot of you don't realize, I've preached with the greatest preachers in America. You know how I know? They told me they were. They know everything about the Bible. They know everything about you. They know everything about God. But in reality, said sin, they don't know nothing about themselves. I think I've come to the conclusion. They don't know nothing about themselves. They don't know nothing about you. And the way they talk, they don't know much about God. I don't know all the whys and the wherefore twos. But I do believe tonight I know the ultimate purpose of Satan in your life and mine. Curse God and die. Turn your back on God. Quit going to church. Quit reading your Bible. Quit trusting in the Lord. Just give it up and be done with God. But I want to ask you, why in the world would you turn your back on the best friend you've ever had? Can I run that by one more time? Why in the world would you want to turn your back on the only one who will be a faithful friend in the midnight hour? The only one that's your comfort and the only one that's your joy and the only one that's your stay. You did right before, do right beneath, and by the help of God, do right beyond. Just keep on doing right. Boy, one Sunday morning, we had a whole row of visitors. And when you pastor a small church, visitors stick out like a thumb. And boy, you go, boy, that's some fresh hide. And boy, I leaned into preaching like a wild man. Man, that first note of that invitation number, that whole row got up. You never heard such a squalling and a crying. Some, they got in that order. Mama come, daddy come, papa come, grandma come, the aunt come, the uncle come, and all the young'uns come. And you've never seen such a sight. They just cried and blowed snot all over our place. They got up a shouting. They went down the aisle a shouting. They were shouting out in the foyer. They were shouting in the parking lot. They were shouting going down Walt Stevens Boulevard. And I want to tell you, they got so much of God under my preaching that morning. And they got so much of God in that service this morning. They've not needed any more. And they've never came back. Can I take some time out and do some psychology to some of these discouraged pastors? Oh, may I say, dear pastor, you don't realize how awesome you really are. You just don't understand how awesome you are. Some of you guys are so awesome that some people only have to hear you preach once a year. And you are so awesome, that's all they need. In fact, some of us are so awesome, there are some people that can hear you once in their lifetime, and they got so much of God out of that once in a lifetime, you don't ever see them again. I like what my daddy used to say, how a holy Christian evidently has got some holes in him, and he leaks, and he has to come back, and he has to get some more. I mean, I called a while back. I found the card, and I called a while back. Hello? I said, yes, ma'am. This is Pastor Arthur. Who? I said, you know, over that harvest. Now, what church is that? I said, you know the one you and your family snorted and shouted and cried all over. She said, oh, that one. Now, when they say that, you know they ain't coming back. Oh, that one. I said, we've been missing y'all. She said, well, pray for us, brother. We're out of church. I know I shouldn't have said this. A real pastor wouldn't have said this. A great Christian wouldn't have said this. But I'm like that man on TV. The devil made me do it. And I said, well, that didn't last long. And then she said that famous word that all pastors just love to hear. Well, brother, you don't understand. No. Why would I ever understand? Oh, brother, you don't understand. We got stuff. We got issues. I said, ma'am, I'll tell you what let's do. You get your stuff, and I'll get my stuff, and we'll go to the altar, and we'll worship God, and we'll walk with God, and we'll leave our stuff, and we'll go home with God's stuff. It's not time to turn back on God. It's not time to quit walking with God. It's not time to turn away from God. So much the more. So much the more. Just keep on doing right. And it's always right to do right. He worshiped. He walked. And I love what he said in chapter 15, verse 13. Though he slay me, yet while I trust in him. He worshiped before, beneath, and beyond. He walked with God before, beneath, and beyond. And he waited for God before, beneath, and beyond. Boy, I can say him, hear him say, Job, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do what I did before this ever got started. I'm going to trust in God. Job, what are you going to do in the midst of all of this? I'm going to do what I did before this. I'm going to trust in God. And Job, when you get to the end of your life and the storm passes away, what are you going to do? I'm going to do beyond it what I did beneath it and what I did before it. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Can I remind this congregation tonight? You can trust him. You can trust him. He is a God that we can trust. Job, how can you trust him? Because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Job, why can't you trust him? Because he knoweth the way that I take. But Job, why can't you trust him? He said, because when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But Job, what are you waiting on? He said, well, in chapter 14, verse 14, I'm awaiting on my change. You're waiting on what? I'm waiting on my change. Change what? I can't change it. My friends can't change it. And glory to God, I felt something right there too. And the world cannot change it, but oh, the God that's before, and the gods that beneath, and the gods that beyond, He can change it. And I'm waiting on my change, because I found something. God may not change the storm, but He'll change me. He may not change the circumstances, but He'll change me. He may not change the atmosphere, but He'll change me. I'm waiting on my change. When God turns it around, and it's better in the end than it was in the beginning. You say that's fantasy. No, that's faith. That's sovereignty. That's God. That's trust. Hallelujah. You can count on God. Woo! Before, beneath, and beyond. On the other side, hallelujah. On the other side of that storm, they came back for one more interview. And said, Job, you got anything to say now? And he said, yeah. But I ain't got to say it to you. I'm going to say it to the Lord. Number one, chapter 42, he said, I've heard about you with my ears. But now, I've seen you with my eyes. I went to camp meeting and heard that you was awesome. But now, boy, as the Holy Ghost ever said to you as a preacher, now it's time to practice what you've been running your mouth about to everybody else, what they ought to do. And if it was good for the people sitting in that pew, it's good for the preacher up there in that pulpit. Oh, we sing about the greatness of God, Brother Mike. We try to preach about the greatness of God. My second little mama down here a while ago got to shouting about the grace of God. And by the way, if that disturbs you, you're going to be so uncomfortable in heaven, you're going to be in bad shape. I like what Brother Mays used to say. He said, I hope when I get to heaven, God puts my mansion right inside the main gate. So when all them dead Baptists walk through and go, whoop, He's going to say, I told you you would. Hey. We've sang about His greatness. We've preached about His greatness. Honey, you've shouted about His greatness. Anybody here ever heard about God? How wonderful He is. How almighty He is. How great He is. And I want to say that ain't bad. I'm glad I have heard about it. But I wonder if there's anybody here tonight. Son, she's in overdrive. You've done more than hear about it. You know it. You've seen it. You experienced it. That He's everything that He claimed to be. And a whole lot more. God, now I see with my eye what I've heard and felt down in my heart. Come on with a song, Jordan. And I want to close with this. Job said, God, I got one more thing I want to say to you. Lord, now I know you can do anything. You go home, glory to God, and read chapter 42 and verse 2 and don't shout, oh, God, turn in your papers. He said, now I know, God, you can do anything. Before this ever broke loose, beneath, in the midst of all the stuff, Lord, beyond it, I've learned this. God, you can do anything. If there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight, you know that God can do anything. Trust Him tonight. worthy. Not just in the good times, but in the dark times. Before, beneath, and beyond. Let's stand together tonight. Maybe you just like to clear you off a little spot. Build you an altar and make you some memories. Stir in them ashes.